this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Tom Nady with the crown topic of the day. And we started a couple hours ago, BT, talking about, look, it's not a major issue, but Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic writing about how Pete Alonso, by saying that he wouldn't participate in the home run derby unless he were an all-star, took away a spot from his teammates who were more deserving. And it bothered me. It bothered me that Pete, not just that he said that, because that's fine, you don't want to go unless you're an all-star, understood. But the fact that after he got selected, specifically because of they want him to participate in the home run derby because he hasn't deserved to be an all-star this year, that he didn't even acknowledge that his teammates like Lindor and Nimmo have earned a spot more so than he has. And it's just one of those things with Alonso, again, showing a selfish nature as far as being, I'm not talking about selfish person in real life. Like, we know he donated a lot of time and all that stuff, but not being the best teammate possible. Not to mention that he's been one of the least impactful Mets as far as their turnaround goes. And I was talking about, I would look to maybe trade Pete Alonso here. And that conversation obviously came up at some point throughout the course of the show. Anything you missed, check out on the free Odyssey app. But for me, with Alonso at this point, it's just too much. And the fact that he hasn't impacted this team on the field, that would be a reason why I'd look to maybe move on.
Well, I mean, listen, the trade Alonso stuff is something that I've been talking about openly for about a year and a half. You know, not as long as the Lindor stuff, because there was no reason to, but just, you know, sensing where this might go. So independent of that, because I don't want to just pile on it. You guys know where I stand. I think the bottom line with Pete, number one, it's not on him. It should not be his responsibility to be the all-star police, number one. And he's always been a little socially awkward. He's not a great communicator. He's a little aloof. So if you're looking for the perfect explanation of him being, you know, grateful that he was selected while also showing love toward, and whether it's Nimmo, Lindor, both, whatever, I it's not that there was any malice there or contrived malice. I just think that he is, when it comes to speaking, he sometimes misses the mark. He's just a good old country boy. I don't think he meant anything bad by it. Yeah, I really don't.
It rubbed me the wrong way with Alonso not giving at least some acknowledgement. Hey, Nimmo, Lindor, specifically Lindor, but those guys have earned it more than I have. I'm glad to go, but really they should be representing the Mets instead of me. I don't think it would have hurt them. And we also did some Yankee stuff as well, with the Yankees get a win last night, but struggling overall. I just don't think they have it in them to be the World Series team that we had hoped. Maybe I'd be looking to sell if I'm the Yankees at the trade deadline. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let's get... Any open off? You're going to end a reset? What do you got?
I feel like I haven't had enough time today.
What?
So there is a story developing. Jim Bowden, he put out an article.
Where is he now, Bowden? Is he MLB Network?
Serious. He does a bunch of different stuff, but he also wrote for The Athletic.
Okay.
And he put something where all teams are at the trade deadline. And there's a few bullet points, and one points to the Astros having conversations with the Mets about Pete Alonso.
Mm. So Bowden is saying that the Astros have had talks with the Mets about Alonso?
Yes.
Do we know a time frame of when these talks have taken place?
I don't have the article in front of me, so I can't open it up, unfortunately. But I do know that they have. And he's not the only one. It also conversations about Luis Severino, too. But Pete Alonso is the name that sticks out more than anything else.
What do you think, BT?
I think it's really smart of the Mets to engage. I do. Because I think what's happening is, you know, and this I was critical of, I think they put themselves in a tough position where I would have traded Pete during the winter, all right, and really tried to maximize the return. I get it. They wanted to go for it a little bit, whatever. Okay, I understood it, but I think it was the wrong move. But they were going to complicate their world where, let's face it, we know they don't want to give him big money. They're not. He's going to be an ex-Met at some point. They know that. We know that.
Also,
Met fans need to understand that and accept that at some point soon.
Also, I think the fact that they've seen the team have success without him being a big part of it makes this even easier for them.
I think that's an outstanding point. So for the Mets to do that, it's forward thinking. I wonder if there's other teams. I mean, listen, you want it. You want what you want to do is get the Astros as active as possible and then maybe find somebody else to jump in and get the Astros to really nibble more and throw in more prospects. There's a way to do business, so that's smart. But if they don't trade him, they don't, they're not re-signing him, and then they get nothing. So to me, this is the prudent baseball decision and business decision.
Now, my one question would be, and you know I feel about it, and in case you missed it, check out on the Free Odyssey app. We talked about it a lot today. The one question I would have, we don't know the timeline of this. This could have been, you know, Bowden could find out now, from the Astros side of it, let's just say, this is how these things work, right? Like, the Mets side of it, the Astros side of it, he may hear something from the Astros side that said, we checked in on Pete Alonso. It could have been a month ago. Because the fact that Severino would be mentioned in that shows me that, like, I don't think the Mets, if you were to ask me, could the Mets trade Pete Alonso and still be considered buyers as going all in? I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me if the Mets could trade Severino and still be considered buyers going all in, I'd say no.
Why? Sanky's coming back.
Yeah, but you still need starting pitching. Like, you could argue that they need more starting pitching.
Well, they might trade Quintana.
Severino. They need to keep those guys.
They could trade one of those guys. They might.
See, I don't think they can. You're right that they might. I think that would be stupid. Like, you can't trade. I'd rather trade Senga. He hasn't been a part of this thing, and maybe you got some value for him. But there's no guarantee that Senga's going to come back, and if he does come back, that he's going to remain healthy or be even effective. So I'm not, I can understand why they would think that, but I can't imagine that now, with them being over 500, if they win today, they're going to be tied for a wild card spot. Like, not
they're
anymore.
Coming, I know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're here now.
Well, let me do a little detective work here.
Yeah.
So on June 11th, exactly 1 month ago, they beat San Francisco. All right. The day before that, they lost. The day before that, they lost. And then after the win that I just referenced, they lost again. So they were 31-38 at this point.
A month ago. So that could have been...
I don't know. I think it's more recent, actually. That's what I'm saying. Like,
well, I hope it is as far as the Alonso
from the Mets
goes.
Perspective, you would hope it is. And that's what you're trying to detect. And I think that's smart instincts on your point. But I think that the origin of this report, if Bowden's reporting is on point, and I'm sure that it is, I think that it's more recent because, again... The Astros a month ago, when I don't think that they would have been investigating adding to it because they really couldn't justify it as much. Now they could.
Well,
I think it's much more of a recent report.
That's an excellent point, too. The Astros were kind of like the Mets. Where there would be no way that, you know, from the Mets' perspective, you could see, they'd be talking about it a month ago. But from the Astros,
correct.
You couldn't.
That's what I'm saying.
And maybe when the two teams played not too long ago, maybe that's when the conversations took place.
Yeah, it just seems like a reason. Is this a new or an old report, sir?
Yeah,
you didn't get it?
Well, no, what?
The Francesa thing. Is it? How far was
what
that?
What did I miss
is
from
this
that?
The old, is this a new report? Or old report?
From
you remember that.
Talking about Wheeler or somebody getting hurt or something?
Yeah, it was with the Mets pitcher.
It was this a new like reporter.
Oh, God. this strikes me as a newer report.
Yeah, okay, that would make sense. Now, forget about the report, if it's accurate, whatever, when it happened, but that is a big part of this.
Yep.
The idea of trading Pete, I think a lot of Met fans have at least been open to it.
And now they are.
Okay, right, now they are, when we talked about this a year ago, but there's more legitimacy to it now being a thing because Pete is not impacting the team this year and because he's likely not going to be back. He thinks he's worth something. The Mets already made him an offer a year ago that he turned down. He's had a worse year than anybody could have expected. There's right now, if the Mets do keep Pete Alonso, there's a chance they keep Pete for the rest of the year and lose him for nothing in the offseason.
You can't do that. That's as bad a business as it gets.
And the only reason why they would do it is because they think it would help them be a better team now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been proven through July 11th that they're not a better team necessarily with Pete Alonso. We list 6-7 guys that have been more impactful. You can make other areas, you can make other trades that could upgrade other areas of your team to make you better now and also get something for Alonso before you lose him for nothing. Like, it's a difficult decision. I understand that.
Yep, it is.
But it's very smart forward thinking by an organization trying to thread the needle on competing now, but also making this team better to be able to sustain success moving forward.
Yeah, and the one thing just to keep in mind, and again, it's just the Astros. Maybe other teams emerge in a lot of time before this actually goes down. The Astros right now are the 29th rated farm system, which has changed because all their guys are up at this point.
Right.
For years, it was amazing. We want to make sure you engage some other teams here. Their top prospects, outfield. I'm not going to give you names. Who cares? Outfielder, shortstop, third base, outfield. Now,
whatever, but you could use them. They're great.
Oh,
assets, whatever.
Absolutely.
You get.
What I do find interesting is
no
that.
No pitching there?
Not within their top five prospects. No. The third best system right now is Stearns' old employer, the Brewers. You might want to re-engage them before you. If you're going to do something with the Astros.
Well, maybe.
You want to make sure you have another conversation with the Brewers because you already had one with the Brewers about Pete Alonso.
I think the bigger conversation here is because we know the Mets now are a legitimate threat to be a playoff team. Like, they're a legitimate contender. Any way you slice it, they're a legit contender for a playoff spot. But it doesn't mean you just have to buy.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy and also have an eye on the future and say, okay, well, this piece is not, if I take away this piece from this team right now, how does it negatively impact us versus what are we getting that can help us either now or in the future?
I agree with that, but the only thing that could, I'm not saying will, that could give the Mets pause, and I know you know this, but mm-hmm. I think it's being minimized, and I want to be fully fair to Pete. While he's been fairly pedestrian this year, and the successful runs come with him being pedestrian,
yeah.
Make no mistake about it, Pete Alonso goes on a heater. Thinking about third wild card, you start thinking differently with this Mets team. Like, if he has a month where he cracks 13 home runs,
right.
And he's capable of it with Lindor hot,
yeah.
And with Nimmo hot, and with Martinez behind him, and with Vientos doing his thing, and with the catcher, with Alvarez here, and,
right.
You know, playing well, and with fresh legs. Like, you know, I don't know if it's tantalizing enough to prevent, to dissuade the Mets from trading him, but let's not make it seem like Pete can't put the Mets on his back for a month because he's done it many times. He's done it more than Lindor since Francisco got here.
Understood. But if he were doing that the way that he did when he first got here, we wouldn't be talking about trading him. And he's not.
Yeah.
And that's the reason. Now, that's the risk they're going to have to take.
Mm-hmm.
Do we value what he potentially could do?
No, I would still trade him, but I'm just trying to give you
right.
Both sides.
Yeah, and it's a good thought because yeah. That's what a lot of fans are going to say. Fred is calling from Stillwater. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Fred?
Fred.
Hey, I got a first of all, just something about Sal. You're a Met lover and a Yankee hater. I love you for that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that.
And I want to say to BT, what do you have against Pete Alonso? You put him down every chance you got.
No, I don't.
He had the most home runs since 2019.
God, Pete Alonso. Stupid stat.
Four home runs since 2019. Please tell me.
Okay. Probably nobody. Is Pete Alonso a top 10 player in baseball? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
are you in Stillwater,
Fred.
Oklahoma, or Stillwater the Moon? Where are you? Where do you live?
He's the best power hitter the Mets ever had. Okay. He's not.
Right. Oh, sorry, Fred, to cut you off there. I hit it by accident. I do appreciate the kind words and the call, but come on. If anything,
I just defended.
Yeah, if anything, BT's defending Pete Alonso. There are many different layers to what we're talking about with Pete Alonso. The first thing that annoyed me, well, honestly, BT, I'll tell you the first thing that annoyed me. First thing that annoyed me was last night he can't score from second base on a double
tweet.
Off the wall. Yeah. It's a double off the wall. What are you doing? It's one thing to be held up, and I can't stand this. It's hard enough to get hits in the big leagues. If you have a guy in scoring position, like in all my life in baseball, if you get to second base, technically, that's considered scoring position. Why is getting to second base considered scoring position? Because if you get a base hit, the runner from second base should be able to score on a base hit.
Yep.
But yeah, with the Mets, it's like station to station. It drives me nuts. Okay, fine. Guy's got a good arm. Ball was hit hard. Understood.
He got a bad read. That's
okay,
really
no,
where it comes from.
But this was different. This is a ball that's hit off the freaking wall. You're on second base. This is not a base hit. This is a double off the wall. You're on second base. There is no excuse for you not scoring on that. Now, it's one move, but it drove me nuts. And then reading the Athletic article from Ken Rosenthal about Pete saying he'd only participate in the All-Star game, you know, and if you, oh, excuse me, the home run derby, if you were an All-Star, not even acknowledging that he took a spot away from more deserving players on his team, drives me up a wall. Then we get to the impactful nature of the play for Pete this year on this team where it's been minimized. So there's many reasons for this. Oh, and by the way, he's a free agent who's having a down year, wants a lot of money, and the Mets already made him an offer that he turned down. He's not even going to get that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, it's not just one thing with Alonso, and he's not the same player that he was in 2019, to the caller's point.
I would never do it because I'm certainly, I'm not, well, with certain things I would do it and have some fun. I would never do it here, But if I wanted to, I could take the biggest victory lap in the history of Mets conversation.
Of?
He's going to get traded. And I've said it for 2 years.
You think he's going to get traded this deadline?
He's gone. He's not going to be with the Mets next year.
Well,
that's always been my contention.
Right.
They will not resign him. Whether it's deal him now right. or
at
make a bad
year,
business decision and get nothing for him, he's not going to be a Met. He's just not.
Yeah.
He's not.
And if you know that, and I think now I'm coming around to that, certainly, like, I thought Pete was going to have a monster year this year.
Yeah, I know.
And make their decision difficult. But if you think he's not going to be here beyond this year, then why the hell would you keep him when he's having a down year? If he were hitting, if he had 30 home runs right now, I'd
you
be
ride
like,
the wave a little
yeah,
bit.
I
know.
See what happens.
And the, by the way, you said he's making their, well, how did you frame it about their decision? He's making,
I think he's making it easier on them.
That, yeah, okay, that's what I was going to say. I thought you said something
because
different. Yeah, he is making it easier because he's not playing well enough to justify giving him the extension. And I think, see, the delicate juggle for the Mets here, from Stearns' perspective, I think Cohen's different. I think that Stearns never valued Pete. From the moment he came here, I don't think he ever wanted to marry himself to Alonso long-term as a player, which I think is the smart baseball decision. The juggle for the Mets was straddling that delicate tightrope of the baseball decision versus the negative backlash from the fans,
right.
understandably, because Pete was beloved. I think there's been an awakening, a softening of that conviction to keep Pete. So the Mets, from Met fans,
right.
which in essence is making David Stearns' job easier to trade him.
Well, think about this, BT, and I know we got a break, and we will. We'll get back to the calls here in a second, 888-808-1019. I am a Met fan. I want the Mets to do well. If I'm watching it and seeing that Pete Alonso is not having a big impact on this team, then they can see it, right? I'm saying that if Pete Alonso were hitting on pace to hit 50 home runs and drive at 100, you think I'd be saying trade him? Or you think I'd be saying they need to lock this guy up? Sign him now, extend him. I don't care if it's $200 million, whatever. Lock him up. There's a reason why I'm saying it. They're winning in spite of Pete Alonso. He's going to walk anyway because they're not going to, and nor should they, give him the big contract. That means you might as well get something for him now. It's smart.
Mm-hmm.
God.
But what I find amazing is that Hoff,
he
feels totally different. I mean, he sits 20 feet away from you. You guys are both big Met fans, and he is the exact opposite, right, Hoff?
Yeah, but I'm not trying to build around Pete Alonso. I just think that he could still be impactful on this team.
Well, he could.
And he still is. I know he's not doing it the way that we want him to. I know he's not hitting. Right now, he's not on pace to hit 40 home runs, which he hasn't.
40 is like the bar for bare minimum.
Right. Okay. And typically, he finishes with close to 100-plus RBIs, over 40 home runs. I still think he'll get there. He's going to get hot. I'm not worried about it, and I think that at some point in time, maybe guys like Lindor, Nimmo, cool off, and Pete's going to have to be relied upon, and he will. He'll step up when he needs to.
Yeah, well, I'm not counting on that if I'm the Mets. And also, then let's just say they do keep him for that reason. Then you have to figure out what you're going to do when he hits free agency. How badly do you want him back? What type of contract is he going to get? So there's a lot there. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019 on the Fan.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
It's a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Tampa Bay at Yankee Stadium on Saturday, July 20th, right now. Be calling number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. So from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, box office blitz, and the Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. You want to get some calls in here, BT? You
got absolutely. I know people want to jump into this Pete stuff.
Yeah, we've been talking too much. All right, let's get to it. Dan is calling from Hackensack. What's up, Dan?
What's up, Dan? Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Pete's not an all-star. I think it was very exciting. I was watching in 2019, his rookie year. Every at-bat was exciting. He brought credibility and excitement to a franchise that hasn't had a lot to be credible or excited about. I didn't see Strawberry when he was coming up. But I remember David Wright and all the buzz around him. He set the rookie home run record, the Mets home run record. Since then, he's had some big game home runs. He's had some prolific home runs. But as far as a player, If you need a big hit late in the game, I'd rather have Harrison Bader up there, actually. So I wouldn't be that upset if they got rid of him. I like him as a person. He's been very outspoken about how much he loves New York. I know he works on his defense. He's become a serviceable plus.
Serviceable, yes.
But I wouldn't be that upset if they got rid of him.
So, hey, I understand that, Dan, and thank you for the call. Serviceable at first, yes, but not all around great. And look, Pete seems like a great guy. This is not personal about Pete Alonso not being a good guy. I think it was selfish the way that he handled the All-Star game stuff, BT. But think about what Pete Alonso was. Rookie year. Now, maybe it's unfair to hold him to those standards. 53 homers, 120 RBI. He hit 260. Pete Alonso was a 250. He is currently a 250 career hitter. So you're talking 250, 260. He actually hit 270 in 2022. 40 homers, 131 RBI, and hitting 270. OPS 869. This year, last year he hit 217. This year his OPS is 774. He's hitting 240 and he's only got 18 homers. Like, he's going downhill. He's never been what he was his rookie year, but he's never even been able to sustain that level, whether it's combined with the batting average or the power numbers, whatever, or the OPS. He's just not that guy.
He's not. There's two reasons why players usually have a lower batting average. Forget about power. Talking about just average contact rate. It's, just really the inability to just consistently square up the ball. I mean, and that's elusive. It's very hard. And really, pitch recognition comes into that. Now, and that's just a general thought that basically everybody would agree upon and agree with. Why do players drop 20, 30, 40 points almost inexplicably? Well, generally, it's tied to age. I mean, it could be an outlier bad season, right. But to your point, this is now year number two where the average is down. So it's not the anomaly. It seems to be the trend. When you're a power hitter and you lose a little bat speed, and I'm not going back with the bat speed because I don't think he has lost bat speed. This is why it's very confounding to me. So you lose bats. It happened with A-Rod. Happened with Giancarlo Stanton. Power hitters. You lose it. You got to guess a little bit. You just guess because you don't have the juice to get up to what you used to get up to. And when you guess, you are more prone to swinging and missing. The more you swing and miss, the lower the average gets. That's why even somebody like Wade Boggs, I mean, a contact guy, is like, you're not going to hit 360 when you're 36 years old, unless it's the 1870s and, you know, it's a different brand of baseball. So what's happening to Pete? I don't know. It's really, really weird because he was never going to be a three-bill guy like Judge can do, mess around and do once in a while. He should be a 265, 270 hitter. Well, and he's not old enough where he's guessing all the time. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, the value in Pete was that it wasn't that he was just a prodigious power hitter.
Yep.
It was that he was a decent hitter. Like you said, I'm not asking for 300. Like, you hit 300 and you hit 40 homers, you're a Hall of Famer, okay? Pete hitting 260 as a prolific power hitter with 53 homers, 120 ribbies, you take that all day, every day. Problem is, it hasn't been that. And here's a number as I look at his baseball reference page here. So this year, 240, all right, is that the word? No, you'd probably take that. But the big difference is the power numbers are down.
Mm-hmm.
And if Pete Alonso is not hitting with power, then there's no point to have him on the roster.
Unless his average was significantly higher, which is like if there was like Volpe early. Higher average, less concentration power on going yard, more bat-to-ball skills, and at least for a moment, you saw the average soar, and you're like, oh, wow, it's working residually. He's reaping the benefits. I know Pete's not trying to hit fewer home runs and hit a higher average. He's not Volpe. He's not Rod Carew. He's not a little slap hitter. But it is really, really hard to explain why the average is down and the power's down.
Right,
I don't know.
Right, but Volpe, obviously a totally different player, and you live with that. You say, I don't need 20 homers, 25 homers for you.
Correct.
I need you to hit 300.
I need you on base to run.
Steal bases, hit the ball the other way. Alonso's supposed to drive in runs and hit with power. The idea is to get the average around 240, 250. Obviously, anything higher is great, but also mash. So here's the number or the season that jumps out to me. Like, off the rookie year, sure, you expect a down year. Now, it happened to be the pandemic year.
Mm-hmm.
In 57 games in 2020, Alonso hit 16 homers and 35 RBI. And his batting average dropped 30 points, 29 points. He was 260 in his rookie year.
How many home runs, 16?
16 homers, right, 35.
So let's double that to 32.
So now, I remember real time watching Alonso during the pandemic and being frustrated with the season.
Okay.
I just wasn't having a good year. To me. Now, he was hitting almost 30 points worse, 260 to 231, so it's 29 points exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the power was, all right, whatever, maybe a little bit off, but in 60 games, 16 homers, 35 RBI.
It's actually not that off, because in 120 games, that's 32, and correct. It's well over 40 home runs pace.
Correct.
Yeah.
So my feeling of him having a down year was more the average dropping 30 points.
Okay.
Now, 16 homers, 35 ribbies in 57 games. This year, he's got 18 homers, 48 ribbies in 91 games. That's
a big drop.
That's a major. So he's basically got the same numbers now on July 11th.
With 30 more games.
Yeah. 91 games into the season. He's got the same numbers that he finished with in the pandemic shortened year.
Mm-hmm.
That shows you how. Now, after that year, 37 homers, 40 homers, 46. This year.
A lot of RBIs, too.
Yes.
121 last year.
Right. 118 last year. 131 before that led the league in 2022. So. Point is, this year has been his worst as far as power numbers go.
Yeah.
So when people are saying, we're talking about this, oh, he's going to go on that run and go nuts. He could, but the numbers tell you that, and to me, even in a down year where he had 30 points less than what he did in his rookie season, he still had the massive power numbers in 57 games with 16 homers. It's taken him 91 games this year, and he's got 18 homers. That's just not enough from Pete Alonso at all. It's not even close.
So, the first time he's had a really process of contract. He's wearing it. I think he's praying to the battle. And understandably, and again, I'll defend him here. Now you got to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And Soto's got to find a way to get through this as well, who suddenly is hitting 190 over his last 20-something games.
But he might be hurt.
He could be. But, I mean, playing for a contract is part of being a professional. And I understand it's much more burdensome. You're probably not nearly as free as you ordinarily would be if you have 7 years to go on a deal. You don't think Aaron Judge is playing free? I mean, he is. So I understand that the mind is a very strong impediment when you're trying. It gets in the way. It's an obstacle, and I think his brain, more so than his body's getting in his way.
Fair enough.
I do.
All right.
I can't prove that, but that's what I think.
And that might make sense. But do you think that's going to change then, either this year or then project moving forward? Like, you could, prior to this year, at worst, for Pete Alonso, pencil in 40 home runs.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. I'm not saying he can't do it now, but right now he's not on pace for that.
If you ask, now again, I do not think he'll be a Met next season. I'm not about the rest of the year. I'll say next season. He will not be on the Mets next year. I would say that Pete will have at least three more years with 40-plus home runs. I don't necessarily believe he'll ever hit over 245 or 250 again.
And then I guess the question is, would you sign for that, or how much would you pay for that?
I mean, unless you're an amazing leader, great fielder, decent wheels, he's a one-trick pony.
And he's going to be 30 next year, which is fine. Like, you could still, as you said, maybe a couple of years he could still hit those. If you could tell me right now, even this year, and then project it forward, whatever, that Pete's going to be a 40 home run, 100 RBI, but hit 235, 240, which is still down.
It's down.
I'd sign for that, though.
You would. You'd still want to retain him? At that point?
I think so, yeah.
See, I would make the case, and I could say
now,
that.
At a good price.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, but it's not going to be $20 million a year. It's going to be closer to 30. So is that really that good? I hear you, and I get it. I could still make the case that I think the more prudent play would be to build out a more athletic, diverse roster and allocate those funds elsewhere. And I've always said that. That's how I know Evan's talked about this. I do think people miss the mark when they when they cite something that I said, but when they talk about this, they're like, man, you know, how are you going to replace 40 bombs? You're not.
Right.
What you do is you're getting better in other places of weakness, which makes you better at the end of the day from a team perspective.
And now you're not replacing 40 bombs. It's fewer than that because of what Pete's done this year, and you could see that the team has had some success. Right. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We'll have Brett Boone joining the show. Last time he was on BT, you were off, so it'd be nice to have Brett Boone.
Did you ask about his brother?
Because
we're going to ask a bunch today.
I did, but it was a different circumstance than it is right now. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on the Fan.
A perfect game for David Cohn. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cohn in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cohn has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Right now, we are joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in baseball and around sports every week. Brett, we appreciate the few minutes here. How do you think your brother's feeling during this rough stretch for his ball club?
I stay away from him. You know, I said, you know, that's these times I give him a call. I said, so you want to be a big league manager, do you? Now, it's, you know, he's gone through this before. I talked to him the other day. He's fine. I mean, this is, especially in today's game, you've got to realize that throughout the course of a season, no matter what's going on, I mean, they came through San Diego a month ago, and this team was as hot as it could be. It was like a rock concert going on, and I remember going on shows and them asking me, you know, you saw the Yankees recently. I said, you don't want to play the Yankees right now. They couldn't lose. Now, all of a sudden, flip the script. I think they're 6-14 their last 20. They're having a tough time winning. They squeaked one out last night, 2-1 game. But that's the ebb and flow of baseball. For me, the key, and I think the key for this offense, but yeah, the Juan Soto is going to be an MVP candidate. Aaron Judge, if he keeps going, stays healthy, probably going to be the MVP. The key for me has been Giancarlo Stanton being a presence in that lineup. And when he went down, the team kind of went south a little bit offensively. I think it's imperative that he's in the middle of that lineup, and you can't just get around Soto and Judge. Now you've got to deal with a guy that's got a good chance of hitting one off a facade. So I think his presence is kind of an undervalued thing. Hopefully they'll be getting him back soon. Obviously the pitching staff has been scuffling. Cole's back, but he's still in kind of that spring training mode. And that bullpen, statistically, it ranks, I think, third in the American League. But that bullpen's beat up, and they're going to need some help. I see them to go at the deadline and look to bolster that bullpen.
They better bolster them more than the bullpen. They better find a third baseman. I mean, listen, tell your brother, find the new second baseman. I can't stand watching Gleyber Torres. He's so lazy. Brett, here's the thing. I want to go back to something you said before. You said that he's been through this before. And I know what you mean, because I don't think Brian Cashman's built out very good teams. That's always been my opinion. I've said that on the air for a while. And I've defended your brother a lot. I like your brother. I think he's a good manager. The one thing that's different this year with his team is I'm now seeing an erosion of fundamentals. I'm seeing an absence of effort with too many players and being locked in. And I know that your brother is feisty. The whole Savages thing, the way he lights up umps. I know he wants to explode. He doesn't. Behind closed doors, is his team seeing a different Aaron Boone?
Absolutely. And Aaron, you know, we're similar in a lot of ways. We're different in a lot of ways. We don't handle things the same all the time. I know Aaron, sometimes to a fault, will defend his players to the bitter end, especially publicly. But I know behind the scenes, it's, come in here, I need to talk to you. Okay, it's that. We've got to realize that Major League Baseball, I hear it all the time, well, they need to do this and the discipline. Major League, these are big leaguers. This isn't JC college baseball where we're going to bench you if you don't hustle. No, we're going to fire you if you don't hustle. Yeah, you maybe get a fine. But in a big league clubhouse, the way it is you got to have your players policing one another. I mean, it's like if I'm playing with you and you're pulling that crap on the field where you cost me a run or my team a game, we're going to have a big problem. And everybody in that room, their livelihood depends on one another. Getting to the postseason, ultimately winning a World Series. That's what we're in it for. But I laugh when I say, oh, he needs to be tougher. What are you going to do? These guys are making $20, $30 million a year. It isn't babysitting. It's not college baseball where we can discipline you and you're not going to play on Friday and Saturday. No, we need you to play every day. The bottom line is wins and losses on a daily basis.
Well,
and I see how Aaron comes across, because he will defend his team to a fault. His players, they love him for it, but I get it from a media perspective that, oh, he's being soft and he's not taking care. I know Aaron behind closed doors, and he's being tough on those guys. But more importantly, those guys, the Aaron Judges of the world, the Stantons, the Coles, when you see what I've seen the last few weeks, and we all saw the same clips, there's got to be, hey, what some accountability amongst the players. That's what great teams do. We keep one another in check.
So it's owner Brett Boone, BT and Sal here on the Fan. He's part of the Odyssey family. Listen, and I presented the question that way. I don't have a doubt that your brother behind closed doors is presenting this very differently and holding them accountable. And you are right. It is frustrating from our perspective, speaking for our great Yankee fan audience. You know, they get frustrated by the constant defense of the players. I know why he does it. Trust me, I get it. You're right. It's not JUCO ball, understood. But then I guess, Brett, I would say this. While he is holding them accountable behind closed doors, if the product doesn't change, are they still receiving his message? Is that a fair question?
I think it's a fair question, and that'll play out with how this season plays out. You know, I look at what they've gone through. You're still sitting here, and you're 56-38, top four in all the game. If it doesn't change, well, then that's what happens with managers, with players. I played for a lot of great managers, played for a lot of great players. At the end of the day, players win and lose games. At the end of the day, managers are blamed for the losses. That's just the way it is. And the way it always has been, when you sign on the dotted line and you want to be the skipper of the New York Yankees, you know, at the end of the day, first of all, you're going to be have your feet held to the fire in New York. And by the way, that's why I love playing in New York. I love the craziness. I love coming to New York. And I know, man, if I go 0-4, even though I'm a visitor, I'm going to hear about it. Hmm. At the same time, if I go 4-4 as a visitor, those fans are going to give you your just due. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine. I would have loved to play in New York at some time in my career. I never got to do it. But that's – and I talked to Aaron about this. When we talk, I said, why would you want to do it anywhere else? Man, you're on that hot plate all the time. If you win in New York, though, man, you have the key to that city for the rest of your life. I wouldn't want to do it any other way. And, yes, the press is tough. Yes, the fans expect big things. But that's what makes New York, New York, and the greatest place on earth. And I wouldn't want to do it in any other venue.
BT
is there, knows what it's about. Those players got to get it done. He's got to find a way. What managers do is they get great players, they get egos, they get personalities. And the great ones have the ability to put their players in the best situation for them to individually succeed. That's what the great managers do. That's what Aaron's got to do. And if the players don't play well, guess who gets the all the smoke? That's usually the manager.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brett Boone. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You know, Brett, last time I had you on, one of my favorite things was just to hear about you and your brother and the relationship and the back and forth and the smack talk. Is this a time where you needle your brother a little bit and be like, come on, Aaron, you're the worst team in baseball, or you lay off and just let things be?
I lay off. I lay off in these times. You know, he's got enough going on that he'll reach out to me if he's got a question, or he'll run something by me once in a while. Sometimes he listens, sometimes he doesn't listen. But in these times, I'll tell you, I stay away from them when they're getting their butt kicked, and I stay away from them when they're winning every night. Because I know if I give them a call and they've won, rattle off 9 of 10, and they lose that night, it's definitely because I gave them a call. So I stay away from either of the streaks. The good time to call, you know, when they had a nice week, maybe a 4-3, 3-4, I give them a call and check in. And most of our calls to check in on the family, you know, how my nephews are doing, how Aunt Laura's doing. And we talk, you know, less baseball than people might think. But, yeah, during the season, during a run, once in a while I'll reach out to them. I'll have some questions. What do you think about doing this? This and this, and he'll hit me with some questions. So most of our conversations really is what people wouldn't really think about is it's more about our lives and our family and how are the kids doing versus what do you think about the last four games and particular players. You know, that comes into the fray sometimes. Like I said, sometimes we're in agreement. Sometimes we disagree. I'll let him know. He knows where I stand on everything, and he usually lets me know where he stands. So we're a lot alike, but then again, we're a lot different in many aspects, just how we go about our business. Aaron's obviously, you see him every day. You know, he's buttoned up, and he comes, and he defends. Sometimes I've got to tell him where I'm on the phone. I said, you realize that there's no cameras. I'm your brother, and I know probably more than you do. So you can shoot straight with me, Aaron. this isn't the post-game press conference. I tease him about that.
See, but, that's funny.
That's what
my brother. he's always been my little brother, and I think he's doing a hell of a job in a tough spot right now.
That's what I like, the brotherly, you know, busting chops right there between you two. Like, if you see your brother, you said last time you see him go out and, you know, argue a call or get tossed, you give him some crap for that. That's what I like.
Yeah, I told him. I said, how long are we going to argue this balls and strikes with the stupid box that's not even the legitimate strike zone? That's all we ever talk about. Now that you got laptops in your freaking in the dugout, did it not hit the line? So we're going to yell at him. I said, how long are we going to yell at him? The eyeball check. I get caught up in it. I'm sitting on my couch yelling at the TV, thinking, wait a minute, I'm above this. I know that box is wrong, and I know what a strike is by my eye.
Uh-huh.
I get it. Him and David Bell, baby, they like to get thrown out of the game, but he's a lot of memes have been made of it, and he's done a lot of good in a lot of ways. But when Aaron goes out, the one thing I love about my brother, and I respect the hell, that's really Aaron Boone right there. That's it. He's a good man. He's a man of principle, moral character, very high. He goes out to that umpire, and he really thinks in his mind. I know how he thinks. All right, I want to be respectful. I don't want to show anybody up, but I need to get my point across because I'm so passionate about what I just saw. So he tries to reason with the umpires, and then he goes crazy because that's what he does. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. That's the Aaron Boone I know playing flag football, playing street hockey. The cars are coming. We got to move the goals, put them back. And I used to tease him then. You know, we'd be playing wiffle ball in the backyard. He'd hit one. That was a home run. I knew it was fair, but it was, you know, it was close. I'd say that's definitely foul. It's fair. And it's the same kid at 10 years old that I see at Yankee Stadium, and I love him to death for it. That's really Aaron Boone right there.
Man. So Brett, help us with this. Not just because of Aaron, but, you know, you have the podcast with Odyssey. You played the game a long time. Good player, connected to the game. When Aaron or other managers, but you can, you know, can take it however you want, when they sit down to write out the lineup card before the tonight, Yanks Rays, right? How much of an organizational collaboration is it? This is a question that I think we all ask, and nobody knows the real specific answer. If Aaron wants tonight, 1 through 9, In his own absolute way, does he have to justify it at all to other baseball people? How does that dynamic work with the lineup? We need the answer. We need the real answer. Nobody knows.
I think it's a case-to-case, but I think it's an organization-to-organization thing. I think some organizations give a lot more leeway to the manager. I think if you go to the Texas Rangers and Bruce Bochy, he's going to have a little more leeway and kind of do what he wants to do, what he feels, what his gut tells him, because that's the way the Texas Rangers run their organization. I think it's organization to organization. I think you get on the other side of a real analytical team. I think the Yankees are more of an analytical team. So it's a team effort, and it's not just Aaron, well, no, I want to put him in the 4-hole and him in the 6-hole. I think there's a lot more that goes into it than just Aaron Boone has been. To be honest with you, we haven't discussed it. And I don't go there with him. He'd probably be close to the vest with me anyway on how the cake's really made. But I think it's organization. Definitely my playing days, and, you know, I'm 15 years removed. It was pretty much 100% in the hands of the manager at that time.
Yeah.
Out the line, they see we didn't have analytical teams. We didn't have analytical meetings before games. We had coaches, staff. That would have some input to the manager, but I think the game has changed, and I don't think always in the best way. I love some of the things that this data era and this information generation that we're in right now. Man, I'm envious of a lot of the things we have at our fingertips. But I think too much information in the wrong hands can be detrimental. And sometimes I think baseball has gone a little overboard on the analytical, and I think it needs to curb it back. I think a lot of things in baseball are going to kind of peel back, because I think we're finding, you know, especially in the injury front, the way we treat our pitchers now, somebody's getting Tommy John every other day. And it's like, oh, is this the real way of the world? You know, pitch counts, and we can only go this amount of innings. We got to baby them in the minor leagues, get to the big league, let's blow them out, and then we'll go get a draft another one. I think some things have got to change for this game, and it's going to be interesting. I was watching Smoltz the other day, is a teammate of mine in Atlanta, and he was really talking not to be off topic, but the injuries and the pitchers, and I respect his intellect when it comes to pitching and how you prepare to pitch. Not only that he's a Hall of Fame guy, but just the ways of this game. So I think some things are going to change going forward. But to answer your question, in the longest way possible, I just did it. I don't truly know how much the Yankees kind of say, no, we're going to put him in the two-hole tonight, Aaron. I know you like him there, but we're going to put him. I don't know. I think it's a case to case. I think Texas being the extreme on one side,
yeah,
and then the Tampa Bay Rays of the world being the extreme in the other, and then everybody else is kind of.
Yeah, well, maybe
the
Rangers way is the right way. They're the champions. Right. Tell the Yankees to do that.
I'll tell you what. I would take all this data. Yeah, give it all to
get
me.
Get rid of it.
I'm the skipper. I make the decision, so I win. I go in or out. You fire me, you're going to do it my way.
I love it.
That's how it should be. All right, Brett, always a pleasure. Look forward to the next time we have you on. We appreciate the few minutes.
Thank you, guys.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That was fun, right?
That was good. First of all, Brett's course, I was not here last week. Brett was cool. And let's face it, Brett played ball. We asked a couple of tough ones about his brother, and he didn't run from it. I thought that was really good. I think that's something we could react to.
Yeah, it's right now. All right, BT and Sal on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cohn. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cohn in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cohn has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. Right now, we are joined by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in baseball and around sports every week. Brett, we appreciate the few minutes here. How do you think your brother's feeling during this rough stretch for his ball club?
I stay away from him. That's these times I give him a call. I said, so you want to be a big league manager, do you? Now, he's gone through this before. I talked to him the other day. He's fine. I mean, this is, especially in today's game, you've got to realize that throughout the course of a season, no matter what's going on, I mean, they came through San Diego a month ago, and this team was as hot as it could be. It was like a rock concert going on, and I remember going on shows and them asking me, you saw the Yankees recently. I said, you don't want to play the Yankees right now. They couldn't lose. Now, all of a sudden, flip the script. I think they're 6-14 their last 20. They're having a tough time winning. They squeaked one out last night, 2-1 game. But that's the ebb and flow of baseball. For me, the key, and I think the key for this offense, but yeah, the Juan Soto is going to be an MVP candidate. Aaron Judge, if he keeps going, stays healthy, probably going to be the MVP. The key for me has been Giancarlo Stanton being a presence in that lineup. And when he went down, the team kind of went south a little bit offensively. I think it's imperative that he's in the middle of that lineup, and you can't just get around Soto and Judge. Now you've got to deal with a guy that's got a good chance of hitting one off a facade. So I think his presence is kind of an undervalued thing. Hopefully they'll be getting him back soon. Obviously the pitching staff has been scuffling. Cole's back, but he's still in kind of that spring training mode. And that bullpen, statistically, it ranks, I think, third in the American League. But that bullpen's beat up, and they're going to need some help. I see them to go at the deadline and look to bolster that bullpen.
They better bolster them more than the bullpen. They better find a third baseman. I mean, listen, tell your brother, find the new second baseman. I can't stand watching Gleyber Torres. He's so lazy. Brett, here's the thing. I want to go back to something you said before. You said that he's been through this before. And I know what you mean, because I don't think Brian Cashman's built out very good teams. That's always been my opinion. I've said that on the air for a while. And I've defended your brother a lot. I like your brother. I think he's a good manager. The one thing that's different this year with his team is I'm now seeing an erosion of fundamentals. I'm seeing an absence of effort with too many players and being locked in. And I know that your brother is feisty. the whole Savages thing, the way he lights up umps. I know he wants to explode. He doesn't. Behind closed doors, is his team seeing a different Aaron Boone?
Absolutely. And Aaron, you know, we're similar in a lot of ways. We're different in a lot of ways. We don't handle things the same all the time. I know Aaron, sometimes to a fault, will defend his players to the bitter end, especially publicly. But I know behind the scenes, it's, come in here, I need to talk to you. Okay, it's that. We've got to realize that Major League Baseball, I hear it all the time, well, they need to do this and the discipline. Major League, these are big leaguers. This isn't JC college baseball where we're going to bench you if you don't hustle. No, we're going to fire you if you don't hustle. Yeah, you maybe get a fine. But in a big league clubhouse, the way it is you got to have your players policing one another. I mean, it's like if I'm playing with you and you're pulling that crap on the field where you cost me a run or my team a game, we're going to have a big problem. And everybody in that room, their livelihood depends on one another. Getting to the postseason, ultimately winning a World Series. That's what we're in it for. But I laugh when I say, oh, he needs to be tougher. What are you going to do? These guys are making $20, $30 million a year. It isn't babysitting. It's not college baseball where we can discipline you and you're not going to play on Friday and Saturday. No, we need you to play every day. The bottom line is wins and losses on a daily basis.
Well,
and I see how Aaron comes across because he will defend his team to a fault. His players, they love him for it, but I get it from a media perspective that, oh, he's being soft and he's not taking care. I know Aaron behind closed doors, and he's being tough on those guys. But more importantly, those guys, the Aaron Judges of the world, the Stantons, the Coles, when you see what I've seen the last few weeks, and we all saw the same clips, there's got to be, hey, some accountability amongst the players. That's what great teams do. We keep one another in check.
So it's owner Brett Boone, BT and Sal here on the Fan. He's part of the Odyssey family. Listen, and I presented the question that way. I don't have a doubt that your brother behind closed doors is presenting this very differently and holding them accountable. And you are right. It is frustrating from our perspective, speaking for our great Yankee fan audience. You know, they get frustrated by the constant defense of the players. I know why he does it. Trust me, I get it. You're right. It's not JUCO ball understood. But then I guess, Brett, I would say this. While he is holding them accountable behind closed doors, if the product doesn't change, are they still receiving his message? Is that a fair question?
I think it's a fair question. And that'll play out with how this season plays out. You know, I look at what they've gone through. You're still sitting here and you're 56 and 38, top four in all the game. If it doesn't change, well, then that's what happens with managers, with players. I played for a lot of great managers, played for a lot of great players. At the end of the day, players win and lose games. At the end of the day, managers are blamed for the losses. That's just the way it is and the way it always has been. When you sign on the dotted line and you want to be the skipper of the New York Yankees, you know, at the end of the day, first of all, you're going to have your feet held to the fire in New York. And by the way, that's why I love playing in New York. I love the craziness. I love coming to New York. And I know, man, if I go 0-4, even though I'm a visitor, I'm going to hear about it. Hmm. At the same time, if I go 4-4 as a visitor, those fans are going to give you your just due. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine. I would have loved to play in New York at some time in my career. I never got to do it. But that's – and I talked to Aaron about this when we talk. I said, why would you want to do it anywhere else? Man, you're on that hot plate all the time. If you win in New York, though, man, you have the key to that city for the rest of your life. I wouldn't want to do it any other way. And, yes, the press is tough. Yes, the fans expect big things. But that's what makes New York, New York, and the greatest place on earth. And I wouldn't want to do it in any other venue.
BT
is there, knows what it's about. Those players got to get it done. He's got to find a way. What managers do is they get great players, they get egos, they get personality. And the great ones have the ability to put their players in the best situation for them to individually succeed. That's what the great managers do. That's what Aaron's got to do. And if the players don't play well, guess who gets the all the smoke? That's usually the manager.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brett Boone. Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You know, Brett, last time I had you on, one of my favorite things was just to hear about you and your brother and the relationship and the back and forth and the smack talk. Is this a time where you needle your brother a little bit and be like, come on, Aaron, you're the worst team in baseball, or you lay off and just let things be?
I lay off. I lay off in these times. You know, he's got enough going on that he'll reach out to me if he's got a question, or he'll run something by me once in a while. Sometimes he listens. Sometimes he doesn't listen. But in these times, I'll tell you, I stay away from them when they're getting their butt kicked, and I stay away from them when they're winning every night. Because I know if I give them a call and they've won, rattle off 9 of 10, and they lose that night, it's definitely because I gave them a call. So I stay away from either of the streak. The good time to call, you know, when they had a nice week, maybe a 4-3, 3-4, I give them a call and check in. And most of our calls to check in on the family, you know, how my nephews are doing, how Aunt Laura's doing. And we talk, you know, less baseball than people might think. But, yeah, during the season, during a run, once in a while I'll reach out to them. I'll have some questions. What do you think about doing this? This and this, and he'll hit me with some questions. So most of our conversations really is what people wouldn't really think about is it's more about our lives and our family and how are the kids doing versus what do you think about the last four games and particular players. You know, that comes that comes into the fray sometimes. Like I said, sometimes we're in agreement. Sometimes we disagree. I'll let him know. He knows where I stand on everything, and he usually lets me know where he stands. So we're a lot alike, but then again, we're a lot different in many aspects, just how we go about our business. Aaron's obviously, you see him every day. You know, he's buttoned up, and he comes, and he defends. Sometimes I've got to tell him when I'm on the phone. I said, you realize that there's no cameras. I'm your brother, and I know probably more than you do. So you can shoot straight with me, Aaron. this isn't the post-game press conference. I tease him about that.
See, but, that's funny.
That's know, what I like.
Brother, he's always been my little brother, and I think he's doing a hell of a job in a tough spot right now.
That's what I like, the brotherly, you know, busting chops right there between you two. Like, if you see your brother, you said last time you see him go out and, you know, argue a call or get tossed, you give him some crap for that. That's what I like.
Yeah, I told him. I said, how long are we going to argue this balls and strikes with the stupid box that's not even the legitimate strike zone? That's all we ever talk about. Now that you got laptops in your freaking in the dugout, did it not hit the line, so we're gonna yell at him? I said, how long are we gonna yell at him? The eyeball check, I get caught up in it. I'm sitting on my couch yelling at the TV, thinking, wait a minute, I'm above this. I know that box is wrong, and I know what a strike is by my eye. I get it. Him and David Bell, baby, they like to get thrown out of the game, but he's a lot of memes been made of it, and he's done a lot of good in a lot of ways. But when Aaron goes out, the one thing I love about my brother, and I respect the hell, that's really Aaron Boone right there. That's it. He's a good man. He's a man of principle, moral character, very high. He goes out to that umpire, and he really thinks in his mind. I know how he thinks. All right, I want to be respectful. I don't want to show anybody up, but I need to get my point across because I'm so passionate about what I just saw. So he tries to reason with the umpires, and then he goes crazy because that's what he does. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. That's the Aaron Boone I know playing flag football, playing street hockey. The cars are coming. We got to move the goals, put them back. And I used to tease him then. You know, we'd be playing wiffle ball in the backyard. He'd hit one. That was a home run. I knew it was fair, but it was, you know, it was close. I'd say that's definitely foul. No, it's fair. And it's the same kid at 10 years old that I see at Yankee Stadium, and I love him to death for it. That's really Aaron Boone right there.
Man. So Brett, help us with this. Not just because of Aaron, but, you know, you have the podcast with Odyssey. You played the game a long time. Good player, connected to the game. When Aaron or other managers, but you can, you know, can take it however you want, when they sit down to write out the lineup card before the tonight, Yanks Rays, right? How much of an organizational collaboration is it? This is a question that I think we all ask, and nobody knows the real specific answer. If Aaron wants tonight 1-9 in his own app, absolute way, does he have to justify it at all to other baseball people? How does that dynamic work with the lineup? We need the answer. We need the real answer. Nobody knows.
I think it's a case-to-case, but I think it's an organization-to-organization thing. I think some organizations give a lot more leeway to the manager. I think if you go to the Texas Rangers and a Bruce Bochy, he's going to have a little more leeway and kind of do what he wants to do, what he feels, what his gut tells him, mm-hmm. because that's the way the Texas Rangers run their organization. I think it's organization to organization. I think you get on the other side of a real analytical team. I think the Yankees are more of an analytical team. So it's a team effort, and it's not just Aaron, well, no, I want to put him in the four hole and him in the six hole. I think there's a lot more that goes into it than just Aaron Boone has been. To be honest with you, we haven't discussed it. And I don't go there with him. He'd probably be close to the vest with me anyway on it, on how the cake's really made. But I think it's organization. Definitely my playing days, and you know, I'm 15 years removed. It was pretty much 100% in the hands of the manager at time.
Yeah.
Out the line, they see we didn't have analytical teams. We didn't have analytical meetings before games. We had coaches, staff. That would have some input to the manager, but I think the game has changed, and I don't think always in the best way. I love some of the things that this data era and this information generation that we're in right now. Man, I'm envious of a lot of the things we have at our fingertips. But I think too much information in the wrong hands can be detrimental. And sometimes I think baseball has gone a little overboard on the analytical, and I think it needs to curb it back. I think a lot of things in baseball are going to kind of peel back, because I think we're finding, you know, especially in the injury front, the way we treat our pitchers now, somebody getting Tommy John every other day. And it's like, oh, is this the real way of the world? You know, pitch counts, and we can only go this amount of innings. We got to baby them in the minor leagues, get to the big leagues, let's blow them out, and then we'll go get a draft another one. I think some things have got to change for this game, and it's going to be interesting. I was watching Smoltz the other day is a teammate of mine in Atlanta, and he was really talking, you know, not to be off topic, but the injuries and the pitchers. And I respect his intellect when it comes to pitching and how you prepare to pitch. Not only that he's a Hall of Fame guy, but just the ways of this game. So I think some things are going to change going forward. But to answer your question in the longest way possible, I just did it. I don't truly know how much the Yankees kind of say, no, we're going to put him in the two-hole tonight, Aaron. I know you like him there, but we're going to put him. I don't know. I think it's a case-to-case. I think Texas being the extreme on one side, and then, the Tampa Bay Rays of the world being the extreme in the other, and then everybody else is kind of
Well, maybe
the
Rangers'
middle.
Way is the right way. They're the champions. Right. Tell the Yankees to do that.
I'll tell you what. I would take all this data. Yeah, give it all to
Get
me.
Get rid of it.
I'm the skipper. I make the decision, so I win. I go in or out. You fire me, you're going to do it my way.
I love it.
That's how it should be. All right, Brett, always a pleasure. Look forward to the next time we have you on. We appreciate the few minutes.
Thank you, guys.
That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. That was fun, right?
That was good. First of all, Brett's course, I was not here last week. Brett was cool. And let's face it, Brett played ball. We asked a couple of tough ones about his brother, and he didn't run from it. I thought that was really good. I think that's something we could react to.
Yeah.